No macete que eu vou descendo. Na minha nave te enlouquecendo. No macete que eu vou descendo. Na minha nave te enlouquecendo. Te enlouquecendo, te enlouquecendo.
Quero você dançando pra mim. Dois, mostra o seu poder devagarinho. Três, já tô viciado em você. Não sei o que fazer, bebê.
Vou te enfeitiçar com meu poder.
Hello, hello, hello. Let me get my ducks in a row, because I've just returned from the
dentro da Evoque Prata, tocando Escobar, as beats jogando na cara. Na mira do flash da fama, nós mete marcha. Se pá, nós se tromba nas melhores e voar. E tu faz stories postando minha glocada. Cê se faz de santa, mas eu sei que cê é safado. Só se faz de santa, mas eu já evoque prata. Tocando Escobar, as beats jogando na cara. Na mira do flash da fama, nós mete marcha. Se pá, nós se tromba nas melhores e voar.
There we go. That was quite civilized. Hey, do you want to say hello? You want to say hello? Come on, say hello. Friends, thanks for tuning in to the Banana Republic. Let's take it up a notch. Let's be more serious for a moment. I'll play a song and we will keep moving. But I've got quite a lot for you, and I hope I can gather, you know, get all my eggs in the basket.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
Oh, that was a nice song. That is a nice song. It's kind of like timeless, isn't it? I really like that song. There's a line in it that says, "No man does it all by himself." And I think that is really important to remember. So, for example, this morning I woke up quite early, 4:20, and as usual I have the choice of tuning into a non-radio and listening to some great shows, or in this instance I came downstairs and threw a kilogram of bacon into the picnic hamper, threw some coffee in, boiled some hot water, knives and forks, plates, and jumped in the van and went to my friend Mark's, and he was waiting for me, and he came out and jumped in the car, and then we went to go and fetch Craig, and Craig hopped in and we told stories for 20 minutes to the seaside, where we did a park run, and I did a quite a nice time. I did 31 minutes, I think, just a fraction over, like a few seconds over 31 minutes for 5 kilometers, which was acceptable. And then we had breakfast, and in Australia basically the council or the government or whoever, the shire, take care of these open barbecues, which are electric, and you can use them for free. And they have facilities there, taps, shelter, picnic tables, and they're often right on the ocean or near a scenic park or a walk. And so we cooked up some bacon and eggs and chatted, and then drove home, and I looked at the time and it was 9:45 my time, which is midnight where you guys are, or at least in our time zone. And dropped them all off, pushed them out the car virtually. You know, they all wanted to chat, and I was like, "Get out, Craig." And Mark was the same. "Get out, go." And I raced home like Madame Medusa in a sportsmobile, and drove in, jumped out, ran upstairs, grabbed my laptop, ran downstairs, and pressed record, which is... And I always get anxious before the show starts. So this is the second show of the year. And as I walked into the house, my good friend Chloe, who is more JJ's best friend, said, "Happy anniversary." And she saved the bacon for me because I'd forgotten it's my... How many years have we married?
34 years.
How many?
34 years.
How many?
34 years.
That's my lovely wife reminding me that I've been married for 34 years. And Chloe's sitting here doing her nails. Tell me, Chloe, what have you been up to?
Just painting my nails, had some green tea, looked at the nice, beautiful pool outside.
Yeah.
Contemplating whether I should jump in.
Yeah, and where is Stoke Sauce?
Where is Stoke Sauce?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Julian?
Julian.
He's at the gym, working on himself, feeling good, doing good.
Nice.
Yeah.
When did he go?
When did he go? 9:30?
And what have you been planning for today?
I'm going to go see Harry Potter with the live orchestra.
Oh, where is that?
That's in Brisbane.
Nice.
That'll be very,
nice.
Very cool to see.
Are you going to GPAC or the one up at, I don't know, there's two shows.
I think GPAC.
GPAC,
I
that'll
think.
Be worth going yeah. to. Yeah, so Stoke Sauce is off to some Harry Potter show or some, is it a travelling thing? Is it going around the world or what? Or is it an Australian production?
I think it's going around Australia.
Okay. All right, let me... do what I always do and get out the way to leave you with some music. So I hope I'm coming through clear. I hope I'm okay. Sorry I haven't been communicating, but let me just thank some of the people in ZDR Monster, who's up next, Publius, who incidentally I listened to and really enjoyed your show. You really did a good show. I always like a step further out, and I think Snowdusk mentioned you, at least indirectly, because he made a few errors in his most recent show, which I listened to last night as well. And he said something like, he got all the volumes wrong, and he said, oh, don't ever put me in a nuclear station, a nuclear power station. And yes, don't ever put me in one either, because it will not look, it won't be good. So, already off. Give me a second. The other thing I admire about people who do their shows, who else did I listen to? Love and Time. That was, unfortunately, he hasn't done a show for a while, which is a shame, because he's had some really decent shows this year. Let me play Machine Gun.
Thank you. city. I'm aware that you're cheating, but no one makes me feel like you do. Side down, boy, you turn me inside. You turn me inside and round and round, upside down.
I'm not sure if my audio you turn stopped, me but it suddenly stopped in my band. So, so my monitor stopped and that caused me to panic, but it looks like I'm still feeding, so I'll get off the way.
Upside down, you turn me, you're giving love instinctively. Around and around.
A classic song. Let me say it again. That is a classic song. Good old Diana Ross. I remember being a young kid and my sister's purchasing a Diana Ross record, if I remember correctly. And we had a record bar in the town we lived in, and it was a small town. And Dad obviously had teenagers, and I would have been in, you know, 8 or 10, 8, 9 or 10. And these teenage girls went into the record bar and they came out with a Diana Ross. And my dad on the weekends loved going for scones and tea or pie and gravy. Something, you know, even if it were bacon and eggs or a milkshake, and he'd take the family to a tea room or a cafe and we would go for a drive in our car. And we, or my sisters, put the LP record in the back, behind. There were three seats in the back and two in the front normally. And before the days of seat belts, Mum and Dad used to let me sit in the little glove, the little strip between the two front seats where the handbrake these days or the gears are. There used to be like a glove box or a cubby box. And I used to sit on there, and so there'd be three in the front and two in the back, and sometimes I could push to the back in between my two sisters. But the record this time, Diana Ross, I think, was pushed right to the back, and in the African sunlight, it turned into a sort of pancakey, syrupy shape. And I don't think that record ever got played. I think they may have tried to put it onto the record player, but it was just too warped and bent. And in other news, I could tell you a few stories about Stokesauce, who did a show in Melbourne this last weekend, and we went down there, him and the whole band, five of them, and I went down the day before. And we stayed in this really nice area called Caulfield South with a friend of mine, Katie. Katie's been living down there for a long time. And she was going to see her husband, Mark, who lives on a farm. And she said, well, you can stay in my room. and I won't be here, so I'll be off to see Mark. So I had this lovely house, and Katie's daughter Lara stayed behind, and my daughter Louise was down there. So Louise has moved to Melbourne temporarily just to see what it's like, and it's a beautiful city with trams and trains and great public transport and broad streets and hundreds of places to eat. You know, if I had my life over, I might go live in Melbourne. Love the sunshine, but Melbourne is a beautiful, beautiful cosmopolitan city, and it's sort of like a mix between Durban and Cape Town, the old Durban and Cape Town, and Dublin, and sort of like Bournemouth, sort of, yeah, what else? Sort of like Barcelona, I'd say. Just feels nice, feels happy. And Stoke Sauce came down the following day, and there were issues at the airport. There always are. And he did a great performance, which I filmed, and I hope to share some clips. But overall, he did a stellar show. And we came back the following day, which was his birthday. I'm sure he'll do a show soon. I wish he would, because he's only done one show like me this year. And so many other people have done so few shows. It's quite weird. Let me just go and have a quick look in, one of my daughters. My youngest one's come down, and she's in a grumpy mood. Hope everything's okay. Oh, I think she might be having boyfriend troubles. So this is an unusual day. Sorry, guys. Let's go. Where was I? Anon Radio. Catherine! Oh, I remember what happened. One of, let's go see what's going on. Catherine!
I mean, I have to be honest, I'm not surprised at her inviting to know, because her, she used to be like really obsessed with Noah at school.
She's such a cow.
Who's this?
Sophie Trevann. She's just like the type of person you want to actually hit with, like, a train.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm so mad. How are you?
Good.
That's good.
Was your, apart from that, did you have a nice evening?
It was fun at the, when we were there. And then we got home and it was all right.
What time did you leave the pub?
Oh, we got kicked out because I left my ID at home.
So how did you get into that ID?
I knew the bartender.
Okay. Who's and nobody's, yeah.
Bryce. You know Bryce Lowry?
Yeah, don't.
Oh, yes, Bryce.
Yeah, he was the bartender there. And I was like talking to him.
Where we go. This is what it's like after 34 years of marriage. You have three girls in your house and a young man. And, of course, all their friends. It's really nice. Let me get out of the way. But, hey, before I do that, let me just say something. There's something in the air, isn't there, at Anon Radio? Like, the Orocho show, he has got a full service. Sounds of Synergy, a full service. Shut Up Your Freak, a full service. Pleasure, Pain, and the Margin, or Pleasure and Pain, the Margin, has got an extra full show with two more than the previous two DJs. Funkadelicious, Jazztastic Hour, good old Froggy, has got two shows this year. Chinese Pop Music with DJ Jianfeng, Quingfing, has got a full house. Evolution Revolution with DJ Damaru, aka Jeff, a full house. Audio Theatre, a full house. DJ Atropine, pretty much three quarters. Organized Chaos, a full show with two weekly. Love and Time, he's The last show was on the 24th of Feb. Hang on, there were two there. I listened to one recently too, but it was a repeat. I'd better go back and check that one. The sound show, a full house, pretty much, probably missed two shows. News to me, always. Marcus is full house. Praise and Darkness, full house. Shake Your Booty with DJ Mac, too short of a full house. The Ferhaz Fenza Chronicles, I'm bad at pronunciation, a full house. Bar 2, Open Voice, a full house. Hear Now the Words, a full house of shows, because there's a step further out as well. Both excellent shows, but my favorite is Hear Now the Words. Pumpkin Pie with Mr. Bruggett, or Brug, a full house. Plane of the Electric, a full house. Banana Republic, two shows. Well, this is the second. Lispy Gopher, a full house. Well, actually, everyone's got full houses except for Intergalactic Wasabi Mix with good old Snow Dusk, a full house. He did a great show last night. Somebody came to me after I was having my bath and said, and I had it on full volume. I had all the candles lit and I was pumping out Snow Dusk tunes. And someone came and said, what kind of music is that? And I said, oh, that's Snow Dusk. And they obviously liked it. Stoke Sauce, one show. Oh, Stoke Sauce, one show. Flux, full house. Underground Dark Inky Sets, a full house. Dubious Girls Committee, more than a full house. It's like chock-a-block to the ceilings. The third year of full house, that's good old Tintin. The third year of full house, and then the ZDR Monster Show. So my apologies, it's just Froggy, Stoke Sauce, and myself, as well as the Ferhavenza Chronicles, who are lagging behind. So my apologies. I will speak for myself. I will try and do more. But as always, it's great to be in a community like this. And I'm sorry to be waffling on. I shouldn't. I really shouldn't talk so much. But alas, I do.
If it was wrong, she wouldn't wear my the lightning seeds. She feels like a movie star. Listen, this ain't the first time, ain't the greatest. But I'll tell ya, if I had the chance to do it all again, I wouldn't change a stroke. This baby, I'm the most. But a girl as fine as she was then. Love,
I received an invite from let me switch this off. I was at school and I got this a friend who works around the school came to me, and he absolutely loves going to shows, and he said to me, "Rolls, my son went to one of the communities around here, had a bit too much to. He enjoyed the fruits of the vine too much and lost his wallet, and as a result lost his driver's license, and as a result couldn't go to a concert. And he said, this is an 80s band, an Australian 80s band. Would you like to go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. So I drove down, and he was in his element because he paid for the show, and he just wanted company. And Paul and I get on very well. And it was such a nice show called Noiseworks, as I said. And it was an 80s band. It was quite popular in Australia. And he did it was about a seven-piece band. Typical, sort of like Dragon-style music. Just nice, very nice. And a big crowd, and it was at the Tivoli Theatre. And on the way there, we were chatting, and I said to Paul, well, basically, I just asked him to tell stories, and he did. And this is one of them, and I'm going to try my very best to insert this into the show. Just a second. Farrago, open that. Drag that into here. Where am I? I'm here. Okay, that's not the way. Oh my goodness, so many tabs. Almost there, almost. Sorry, guys. And then I'm going to read to you some interviews that I did, at least interview questions. Catherine. Okay, are you guys ready? This is Paul and I on the freeway, so it might be a little noisy. Paul speaks quite well and loud, and we're in a tiny little car, so I hope it comes across okay.
Yep.
And I put the thing here. Is it recording?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, perfect. All right, Paul and I are traveling down to, where are we going, Paul?
We are going to the Trivoli Club in the Valley to see Noiseworks.
Oh, and what are we going to see, Paul? I mean, I've never even, apparently they're an Australian icon band from the 80s, late 80s.
Yeah, had some amazing hits, Take Me Back, No Lies. Some that were, you know, number one hits over here. I've only got into them in recent years because, like, being in England, I went for the 80s there. And the great thing about being in Australia is you go for the 80s again when you discover all the 80s music here. So I've had two 80s, one in England, one in Australia.
I can agree with that because I've found bands that I've never heard of, like Dragon.
Yeah, I love Dragon.
And they're quite good. I mean, they're very good. And those other guys that sing... I forget that. But, all right. Now, Paul, you were telling me about all the concerts you've got booked in the future.
Yes.
What are you going to see?
I'm seeing Noiseworks tonight. And then that's Thursday night. And on Saturday, I'm seeing Ice House. And Mike is going to that as well, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah, see.
Does he know you're going to this?
Yeah, he knows I'm going to this tonight. So
and
I got.
Was he like, oh, enjoy it?
Yeah. He's looking forward to Ice House, but he kind of got there by default because a friend couldn't go, so he got the ticket by default.
Very nice.
So got Ice House. Then I've got, I think, the next one after that. It's the Stranglers, which I'm going with Tim Six to go and see.
Well, he's a big Stranglers fan.
Yeah.
He had all their albums when he was a kid.
Then I'm seeing Clannad.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get tickets at the moment to see the Smashing Pumpkins, who are playing Sandstone Point, Bribie Island. And I'm also trying to get tickets to see Slow Dive, who are, I think they're coming in April, so.
And And you were telling me that you went and saw AC/DC at G-Pack.
Q-Pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few years ago now.
What was that like?
Yeah, that was on the Black Ice tour. I mean, they did all the usual mega hits. And, yeah, it was really good. There was a lot of people there, and it did rain right at the very end.
But isn't it undercover? Is it Q-Pack?
Kind of. Not all of it, no. We did get wet a bit. I think the best concert
I've... I'm probably speeding a little bit. I better pull over and slow down. Carry on.
The best concert I've been to in Australia was to see The Police at Suncorp Stadium.
You told me about that.
Oh, that was a flipping brilliant night.
You guys had a few toots, apparently.
Yeah, I went with my mate Dave, and we went early, and we found this street near to the stadium that had an Irish bar right opposite a Turkish kebab house. So we were kind of half-cocked by the time we got in the concert. But it was brilliant. It was a really good concert there. I think the best concert I've ever been to was Nebworth 90. That costs a lot of money to go to that. But it was like the British equivalent of Woodstock kind of thing. You had Eric Clapton, you had Deep Purple, you had Pink Floyd, you had Led Zeppelin, you had Elton John, Cliff Richard and the Shadows.
What?
You had Status Quo, Tears for Fears. That's all the ones I can remember, but that was all day and all night. Pretty much all night. It took us 7 hours to get out of the car park at the end.
You're kidding.
No.
Where was this?
Nebworth House in England.
Oh my goodness.
Huge concert, really good. Floyd were amazing. And
so how long were their sets?
Each set was probably about 40 minutes.
Did they have multiple stages or did they just...
No, have... just one stage.
Yeah, you see, that's important because you get to see everyone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having to choose between stages, oh my goodness.
Yeah. So...
And you said that was expensive.
Yeah, I can't exactly remember how much it was, but I remember...
All right, that was Paul driving down. I paused it. And it looks like it's gone back to the beginning, which is annoying. But I think I should play some tunes. Because this hour has gone really quickly, quicker than I wanted it to, because I had a lot to talk about. And my apologies for a bit of a haphazard, disorganized show, but this is the Banana Republic, and this is what we should expect, unfortunately. No, it's not unfortunate. It is what it is. It is, if you want a good show, go and listen to someone else. No, there are so many good shows on radio, and there are so many talented people, and there are so many smart people. It's quite frightening, really is frightening, that there are that many smart people around. And they all seem to congregate at SDF. Like, why? And they're all sort of like anti-establishment kind of people. People who are trying to break the system quietly without getting caught. And I'm one of those people. Certainly not the smart part, but trying to break the system. Trying to, you know, go under the radar. And talking about going under the radar, I watched The Bourne Identity last night for the first time. I've never watched any of those videos. I haven't even watched The Matrix. I still have to watch that. But one day I will. And anyway, I did watch The Bourne Identity, and it was really, really nice. I loved it. And I like to savor it, so I didn't, you know, I just watched it with my wife. She didn't like it. She didn't think it was great. And she said, this is way too violent and it's too fast. And she'd had a few glasses of wine to celebrate our 34 years and of marriage. And I think you have to concentrate for one thing, and it's kind of like the cinematography goes all over the show. But yeah, I'm going to watch the rest of them at some time. And here's a good old classic coming up. Ow! Just faded that out because I want to read you something. And I've been doing interviews for an IT manager for another school, and I think when you employ someone, it's quite a tricky thing. So here are 15 questions that I've had someone help me with in terms of you know, what to ask. And I think these questions are really original. So, where do you see the school from a technical point in the next 5 years? So remember, these are addressed to IT managers, potential IT managers for a school of, say, 300 students, maybe 400. So that's quite a small school. It's certainly a third of, no, it's a quarter of the size of my school. We've got 1,200. The question there, the answer should display an understanding of trends and what's important and relevant. And the same question, where do you see the school from a technical standpoint in the next 10 years? Well, the answer to that should display an understanding that if anything in IT is constant, it is change. And one shouldn't really have a hard stance there. You know, 10 years is like light years. How do you feel AI will positively and negatively affect students in the short term? That's quite a critical thinking question, and it should display an understanding of the impact of AI on children and teachers. Social isolation and anxiety, or access to rafts of readily available information. Question four is, explain how you believe AI could be harnessed to improve student life. Yeah, well, that's a possibility. Should make recommendations around the utilization of AI to provide an enhanced learning experience. Utilize and provide simple explanations to difficult problems, for example. How would you build a better relationship between AI and the teaching admin body? Well, that's a good question, a really good question. Also, I'm quite gregarious and outgoing, so it's different for each IT manager, but this should be used to ensure that this person is fit. Is a fit, rather. Are there any IT managers who are fit? Relationships are built through conversation and interaction, not through email, Teams, and phone calls. So yeah, the guy needs to get out, get off his lazy ass, and go talk to real people. Real people and real conversations. What does your typical day look like? Well, that's kind of like a address. How do they start, you know? Do they start off with a cup of coffee? Sort of like needs to display that the day starts from a planning perspective. Review the previous day communication logs, plans and tasks for the day ahead, and delegations. How do you delegate? Track managing and manage tasks. Should display knowledge of jobs, projects, task management systems and methodologies. What do you expect in the documentation your staff produce? I guess that question should display the requirements for structured documentation presented in a wiki or some form that, you know, I use Slack to communicate with my team quickly and easily. And we also have a help desk ticketing system. And we also have shared folders. And we also have Atlassian. Explain a time you applied your technical knowledge in a practical way. Well, that's a wide open question and actually gives them a chance to talk about it, to display the technical knowledge. And if they can't display technical knowledge, well, it does raise a concern. Tell me your thoughts on a tertiary degree opposed to on-the-job training. And should give you an idea of whether they are a cultural fit for the team or the school and the ideologies of both. If a school or team has a preference for employing, like I employ youngsters, I like employing kids and giving them an opportunity, teaching them. And I've trained quite a few people who've gone on to get really good jobs at a very young age, all below 30. So they start with me at 17 or 18, and by the time they're in their mid-20s, they are really ready for the industry. How do you ensure new implications, upgrades don't cause impact on the school operations? This should display knowledge and willingness to follow a change process, including testing, communications, and deployment methodologies. Can you recall a major IT failure or outage and how you handled it as an IT manager or as a whoever you were in the industry you're in at the time? Discuss the fundamentals of a good cybersecurity strategy. What do you enjoy most about your role in IT? And what do you consider your strengths and weaknesses? Those were 15 questions that I asked, and you'll be very surprised the kinds of answers I got. I was certainly surprised. So, friends, we are at the end of an hour already. I thank you for listening and for enduring my ramblings. Catherine, yeah. Have you got something to say? Come say something. Yeah, on the air.
I hope you guys all have a great day / night wherever you are.
You're like me, Catherine. When you get in front of a microphone, you freeze. I know what that feels like. I shall pump up the volume now and we shall continue, and I will see you next week, hopefully. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. and let's get together. SDF, have a long way to continue.
Come tomorrow, let's all do it again. Boys will be boys, better let them have their toys. Girls will be girls, cute ponytails and curls. Must put an end to the stress and strife. I think I want to live the sporting life.
Demand link.